Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe. Up in the captain's chair on, once again, the magical isle of Vashon, but not for long, and all will be made clear a little bit farther on in the broadcast. But I am today broadcasting live on Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the frequency modulated band and streaming live all over the world, from Singapore on one side of the world to the Kingdom of Sweden, of which Stockholm is the capital, on the other side of the world, streaming live on voiceofvashon.org. And if you are not able to hear me live, very shortly after I finish this broadcast, Captain O'Brien will put it onto the archive. So my greetings today go out to all of Captain Joe's people who sent me signals of concern and dismay when I was not able to broadcast live last week. I fully intended to broadcast live, but there were a couple of things that happened which made it necessary for me to make an emergency telephone call to Captain O'Brien and ask him to make a notice that I was not going to be able to broadcast live, and to then play a reprise of a previous broadcast. And I asked him to play one that came close to a 4th of August, because that was the Coast Guard's birthday, and that was one of the ones that I wanted him to play. I haven't played the whatever it was that he put out, so I don't know what you all heard last week. I do know that you didn't hear me, and I will tell you why in just a minute. But many thanks to everybody who sent me signals of concern. And I'm not going to say that any of them were acerbic, but I know, a couple of people who make the planning of their Tuesdays to be congruent with my coming on the air. And if you don't hear me live, and it is a broadcast that you've heard before, then maybe you feel like I am not being completely fair with all of my people, because I proclaim frequently that wherever I am in the world, I will broadcast live and unscripted and unrehearsed. And last week, I did not do that. I think it's maybe one of the only two or three times in all the years that we have been together that I've not been able to do it. But there are no excuses in life, and I make none. And in a minute, I'll tell you what I was doing instead and what happened. The medical list today is one of progress reports and a couple of new entries, but the progress reports are pretty much like this, that my friend and Guido has come out of the hospital, and he is recovering after surgery here on the island. Captain O'Brien has finally gotten an appointment with somebody that we hope is going to alleviate the considerable discomfort which I see him in every time that I see him, which is at least once a week, because he broadcasts along with the other people on the program called Brown Briefly. He broadcasts before I do, and so I see him every week. And at the same time, after I'm finished, he comes back in, and he moves my broadcast over to the archive. So I'm delighted that he has finally made that appointment. My longtime island friend, Gary, I need to get caught up with him. I see that he's made a LinkedIn entry, I haven't had a chance yet to look at that to see how he's coming along. My friend Jay, my former platoon leader and company commander, infantry company commander in Vietnam, that I talked about 2 weeks ago. I have not heard anything back. He sent me a long signal with a report of how he has started on hospice. And, of course, I am putting the worst possible face on that. I sent him a signal back and have not had any reply, which I find troubling in itself. So I will be in touch with his lovely wife, Raina, and maybe by next week I'll have a more definitive answer. And Sam, the emeritus first poet laureate of the state of Washington, who lives on a remote Puget Sound island, an island like mine that you can only get to by boat or by aircraft, but there are no bridges. And he sent a signal out to the Coast Guard channel this morning, and there were some indications there that he also, along with all of Captain Joe's people who are on the binnacle list, can use the concentrated energy that we direct to all of my people who are in the palm of my hand because they are on the binnacle list. Last week, I had every intention of broadcasting from Dulles International Airport, airline code IAD. I was coming from a visit to a friend who found me through the Voice. And before that, I had been in Nashville with another friend who found me through the Voice. And a parenthetical insertion here, I am always enormously grateful to the Voice of Vashon for the number of connections that have been made over the last few years with people who have found me through the Voice of Vashon. So anyway, I was in IAD and had subjected myself to the humiliation of being pushed around, but I thought that I would be able to find a quiet place in Dulles where I could broadcast. I'm in a wheelchair, and I'm being pushed by a very interesting and gracious young man from Somalia. And we get up to TSA pre-check, and I am able to walk through the metal detector, and I am able to handle getting my little flight bag, my little carry-on, through the scanner. And so I had walked through the metal detector, and I was sitting on the bench on the downstream side of that, where when you come out of security, you get to reassemble yourself. And with TSA PreCheck, you don't have to do much reassembling. You put your watch back on and you put your glasses back on, but you don't have to put your shoes back on. You don't have to put your belt back on. So I'm sitting there and I'm getting ready to, by this time, it was clear to me that my timing was not going to work. And so I had called Captain O'Brien and I had told him that I was not going to be able to broadcast. So I'm sitting there and I'm waiting for my young Somalian pusher to come through and to take me to the United Club because I had a little bit of time to take before my flight. And he didn't come out, and he didn't come out, and he didn't come out. The wheelchair came out, was pushed through by a TSA employee, and I sat there for half an hour. Broadcast time came and went. And finally, he appeared. And I'm sitting in the chair, and off we go. And I said, what happened? Now, I can't try to reproduce the Somalian American accent. So he said, I failed the metal detector. I have a pacemaker, and the metal detector picked that up, and that earned me a complete inspection in the private room. And I'm thinking to my, I'm a person who is pushing me in Dulles International Airport, IAD, with a pacemaker. That seems to me to be sort of a counterproductive situation. So off we go, and he's pushing me along, not at a rapid number of knots, but we're making headway toward the United Club. And we get to a ramp. Now, those of you who have not traveled for a while and have not been to IAD for a while, it is absolutely enormous. And from the check-in place with United to where my gate was, it was just about as far away as you can get. And it included pushing me up a couple of ramps. And we get to the first ramp, and I hear this wheezing back astern of me. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy has got, he's got a pacemaker. Am I going to be hopping out of the chair and putting him in it and getting him to some medical intervention? Wheeze, wheeze, wheeze. And up we went up the ramp. We finally got to the United Club safely and fairly slowly. And I was left to meditate on that particular subject, supposing that the pacemaker had failed and I was the one that would end up getting him to some kind of medical help. And then the really big question was, do I get the gratuity that goes with being a pusher? In any case, when it was broadcast time, I was going up a ramp at IAD, being pushed by a lovely young Somalian gentleman wheezing away and causing me to be concerned that maybe we were not going to make it to our destination. So here I am today, back in the magical Isle of Vashon and broadcasting live from the Gene Boss Studio, and next week I'm going to be broadcasting from Amsterdam. The Amsterdam trip has been planned for some time, and I am doing it by making a hop down to San Francisco, airline code SFO, and there I get a nonstop flight from SFO to Schiphol, Amsterdam. AMS, airline code AMS. And that's about a 10-hour flight, and I'm flying in the front of the airplane, so I get to flake out. And my concern here is that that's a long time with no access to a Vivian should Mr. Foley decide that it was time to generate a huge clog or some other disaster. So I will be doing a very thorough checklist PM, preventive maintenance, on all of Mr. Foley, and I am confident that all will be well. So I'm going to Amsterdam to the Muster of Tall Ships, which is in Amsterdam this year, and also my hosts and hostess are my much-loved friends who lived here on the island for many years, Andy and Cece. And I will be staying in the canal boat that they own on one of the ancient Amsterdam canals. They own that boat, and then they live in one, which is over on the River Scheldt. So it's going to be a great trip. I will be taking everything just a little bit slower than I normally do. I will not be walking quite as far. I will not be climbing the rigging in any of the tall ships. And Cece has found a search and rescue museum down in Den Helder. And she sent me a signal and she said, would you like to do... Come on, Cece, I spent a great deal of my life in the search and rescue business, of course. Maybe I'll even get to teach a seminar. I'm always ready to do that, should it happen. Yesterday was the 11th of August, and back in 1966, the Coast Guard cutter Point Welcome was mistakenly attacked by Air Force aircraft. Her captain was killed, a couple of her other crew members were killed, and everyone in her crew that was not killed was wounded. In 1966, things like IFF procedures and other security procedures were not as well thought out as they should have been. And so the good thing that came out of that was that it caused a great tightening up of all kinds of security procedures, so that by the time I got there with my Ingham, it was a much more carefully thought out and organized environment from a security point of view. But I take this time because we honor those young people. The captain was a lieutenant junior grade just a few years out of the academy. And I, along with all of us who wear the shield, take just a minute to honor those people in the Coast Guard cutter Point Welcome, 11 August 1966. Today is World Lion Day. I bring that up because to my daughter Heather, I am the Lion King. If there was ever an exemplar of why I consider myself to be the most fortunate of men, it is with my children, and because today is World Lion Day, so reported by the National Geographic, it also reminds me to be thankful for not only my own children that I brought into the marriage, my own children from my first marriage, Carmen Sita, but also for the three children that Mary brought into it, of whom Heather is the youngest. She and I did high school together. When we first came together, she was just becoming 13. We did the teen years together. We did high school together. We did driver's ed together. When we started the driver's education process, I was out with her and her mother. And her mother was at that time her trainer. And it became clear to me that if that relationship was going to continue, that one or both of them was not going to survive. So I took over the driver's ed, and Heather and I did that together. That and many other things that happened all came together in not only a daughter, but a friendship. And that is why she calls me, and why to her, I am the Lion King. Down in the South China Sea, a particularly egregious failure of good seamanship and good seagoing manners. Yesterday on South China Sea time, three ships operating together, very close together, two of them from the People's Republic of China, one of them a PRC destroyer, another one a PRC Coast Guard ship, not a cutter. The only Coast Guard ships that are allowed to be called cutters by this captain and by anyone within my reach are those of the United States Coast Guard. Our ships have been called cutters since 1790. The PRC, the Philippine Coast Guard, any other Coast Guard doesn't go back that far, hasn't earned the right for their ships to be called cutters. So anyway, it was a Philippine Coast Guard ship, a PRC, People's Republic of China, Coast Guard ship, and a PRC destroyer. Philippine Coast Guard ship is getting ready to resupply a whole fleet of very small fishing boats down in the exclusive economic zone of the Philippines. And she was being harassed by the PRC Coast Guard ship. And the Coast Guard ship was coming up along up on her stern, thus being the overtaking vessel underneath under the rules of the road, and therefore had the obligation to keep clear. But clearly she wasn't going to keep clear. And at the same time, this destroyer of the People's Republic of China cuts right across the stern of the Filipino vessel and collides with the PRC Coast Guard ship and shears her bow off. But do you think that the destroyer then broke off her menacing harassment of the Filipino ship? No way. The PRC Coast Guard ship was left to fend for herself with now her bow gone and with the possibility of a man overboard. In keeping with the ancient laws and traditions of the sea, the Philippine Coast Guard captain puts out a signal and he says, I have medical people aboard. I'm ready to help with a man overboard. I'm ready to help you in any way I can. And in the meantime, the destroyer is continuing to get right up on the transom, just about on the transom, having already taken the bow off of the PRC Coast Guard ship. I don't know exactly how the People's Republic of China is going to sort that one out. I have said before, and now is a great time to say it again, that everybody that's operating in those disputed waters, which includes often one of us, a Coast Guard cutter, and the People's Republic of China. And now they're escalating all of this by bringing in this very menacing destroyer. She's about the size an armament of one of our Arleigh Burke-class destroyers. She did not go to the assistance of her own flagmate. She kept right on up the stern of the Philippine Coast Guard cutter. Not cutter. I slipped on that one myself. When I say Coast Guard, I always use the word cutter, but I don't mean it with any other Coast Guard except my own. So you can find, by going on to, YouTube, you can watch a clip of this whole thing happening. The violations of the rules of the road are several. The violations of good seamanship are several. The violations of the manners of the seagoing profession are several. And as I have indicated before, and I say it again, this is a great place for a senior captain of any one of the ships that are operating in that area to have a call, a captain's call. There's a flag hoist for this in the International Code of Signals. And it says, come aboard my ship. Let's have a meeting. And that's where the captains would talk about how they're going to keep from colliding with each other. So I live always in hope that good sea manners, goodwill among captains and crews are going to prevail. It's not going to happen unless somebody says, until somebody sends up that signal and says, all captains repair to me, let's talk this out. Let's talk this out as professional seamen, not as politicians, but as professional seamen. We can maintain the presence that the politicians demand, and at the same time, maintain the watertight integrity of each other's ships, which good seamen demand. And that's what I have to say about all of that. In the last week, a number of signals have come to me about the ice-strengthened ship, which the Coast Guard bought from a company that built her. She was originally a vessel to support oil rigs, in particular anchor handling. She carries an American Bureau of Shipping ice class. She is not an icebreaker. She's ice strengthened. And she, at the same time, failed in one of her most important missions. She was the one that was supposed to keep the oil rig Kulak off of the beach. And in fact, she had a major failure. And because of that failure, Kulak ground herself to pieces on the beach in Alaska. Not only is this going on with this particular ship, who has been renamed the Coast Guard Cutter Storrs. She's been given the hull number WAGB-21. She's been renamed Storrs as the second Coast Guard cutter to carry that name. And the original Storrs was a ship of great fortitude and great honor. I still cannot call this ship, whose original name was Avik, I still cannot call her Storrs. She's got twin screws, and those screws are inside nozzles, and those nozzles have the great potential for becoming all clogged up with ice the first time she gets into ice where she's doing any kind of milling. Furthermore, her flight deck is up on the bow. It was put there because when she was an oil rig ship, she was not intended to go into any kind of serious weather. But if she's driven into a heavy head sea, and the first one of the, let's say, a 40-foot or 45-foot head sea gets up underneath that flight deck, it's going to peel it right back and lay it up right alongside the bridge. There are so many things about which this whole project, with which I take issue. All I can say as I come to the end of our time together is that should I have been the ice boss when the subject of a vessel acquisition came up, I would not have bought her. And if it were imposed on me to buy her, then there were a number of changes to her that I would have made, and the first one would have been to get that flight deck off of the forecastle. I've gotten now all the way to the end of our time together. I will remind you that next week you don't want to, well, if you want to miss the broadcast, you certainly can. I'm not going to tell you you don't want to miss it. But I'll be broadcasting live from Amsterdam, and that will be a week from today. In the meantime, know that all of you who are on the binnacle list, and there are a couple people that are Captain Joe's people, who are in the palm of my hand, and who are at some serious risk. So know that the energy of all of us is headed in your direction. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. We'll be meeting again from Amsterdam, from one of the canals, or maybe in one of the tall ships. Depends on the schedule. And in the meantime, this is, as always, your Captain Joe on station and watching properly.